And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 120. It's almost baseball season. It's almost officially baseball season. So we're going to talk some bets, some player shares, probably goof off a little. Who knows? It's baseball season. We're excited. You can find me on Twitter at BDNtrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
We're doing good. We are clear of draft season. I finished my last draft on Tuesday night, and you were burning the 9 a.m. oil.
Yes.
On Wednesday. Or no. I already got my days wrong Tuesday. Again.
Yeah, why not?
I did my last draft Monday night. You were burning the 9 a.m. oil
today.
On Tuesday. This is going to be a good episode. I can't even talk.
Yeah, we've had some fun already. You've already logged out on me once before the show. I guess it's going to be a good one. This is good. So
yeah,
Bloomfield's bringing it. Now he's got an excuse when he loses all his bets. It's going to be awesome. Jordan Montgomery signed. It happened. This is not an April Fool's joke.
Yep. That was good to see. I guess he's going to start in the minors for at least a start or two, which makes a ton of sense. Tons of injuries have happened. I mean, we won't talk too much about the news. You just had your news. But as we will see in the player shares portion of tonight, I've got a red line through my Paul Sewald shares of 5 out of my 30%, which is not good. But no, man, this is a weird, and this episode is just kind of I don't know how much like actionable fantasy stuff we can do tonight, which is kind of why we're just kind of reviewing our bets and our beer bets, I guess, and talking about player shares. It's just that weird time of like the week or the year where we are, it's a total pivot, total mindset change from draft season into actually playing. And I remember last night closing down the, like, I know you don't have a draft sheet, little cheat sheet, but I've got this spreadsheet open pretty much from like October through now, pretty much every day I'm looking at it. And then last night I closed it and like, I probably won't see that sucker again until,
September.
Let's hope November, December. A little emotional, man. Got to shut that thing down, and we'll see it. We'll see it in a little bit.
Yep. Won't be updating my rankings anytime soon, which is kind of nice, actually. So that's a plus. We were talking about before the show, it's kind of weird shifting focus. Now I've been doing, you know, learn the player pool, this, that, navigating draft rooms, all this stuff. And now it's like, those guys don't matter that much anymore. It's all about the guys that weren't drafted that might have an impact when injuries take place. What are we doing here? It's just a whole different, like, maximizing at bats, which we kind of tried to do when we drafted in a roundabout way, but at the same time, it's all different now, locking in schedules and so on and so forth. It's a completely different way of doing things, and it's just like it started with my last couple drafts, and probably for you too. I'm not going to speak for you, but you know, early, you know, February drafts, even maybe early March drafts, you're just loading up your drafts, taking your best players, doing what you think you're going to do. Like these last few drafts, my last 5-6 picks or so were almost strictly for the first weekend of action. They had like I'm already planning on using them and dropping them on Sunday night. Like that's pretty much what's taking place, which is a whole different view, and that's kind of a skew the player shares, but it was just already slowly tweaking the mindset to where we are now, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, it's a totally different game, even more so from like draft and hold leagues where, yeah. It's going to be a big change. Our show is going to have a little bit of a change,
yep,
because we're going in season, so we're still figuring out what that change is behind the scenes, but Thursday nights, we're going to do a little fab preview for the following week just to start getting everyone's mindset. Last year we did, or really the first 2 years, right? We did weekend matchups, yep, for that, just like Friday to Sunday. And we just heard from a few people at First Pitch. And I think we put a call out there in our New Year's resolution, like what people preferred. And there was kind of an overwhelming preference for us on Thursday nights, which will drop on Friday, to do a little bit of an early fab preview for the following week. So that's where we're going with this year. Still nailing out the details, but we'll see where we get Thursday night.
We're pretty close on that. And that means on Tuesdays, we're going to do some bloom boards and some other things to keep you up to date on what's going on in fantasy to get you ready for the fab for the following week. So it kind of all should flow together. Still coming at you twice a week. First off, I'd like to say we appreciate you guys. You guys kicked butt this preseason. The numbers were pretty darn awesome on the YouTube that kept coming up. The downloads on the podcast kept coming up. So you guys are awesome. So all I'm going to say is we always, you know, people might think we're being silly, but we do this because we like doing it. We like doing it for you guys. Well, you guys showed the love back is what I'll say. So
yeah,
much definitely. Thanks to you guys.
The pod picked up a bunch of momentum. And that's because of you guys, the draft streams, just the chats, listener questions have been sweet. So, hopefully the advice has been okay. as we talk about player shares here in a little bit, at least on my end, you know, do as I say, not as I do maybe, but no, I it's been an awesome draft season doing this show with you. And having everyone kind of hang out with us. And I don't know, let's keep that momentum going forward.
I will say when I did record earlier with Ben, like on Bench with Bubba, Mondays or Tuesdays, episodes always like a fab recap for the week for the most part.
Yep.
And Ben's on it a lot with me. And it was funny because we recap our fab for the week. And I usually just do my OCs. He does his main, but his main's had nothing done yet. So he did his OLAC, his online auction championship. So I did mine. And I was going to shut it down. He goes, well, what happened in your two listener leagues? Mine. I didn't look at yours. I looked at mine. And because, you know, one of the running jokes is when I recap Fab, we recap OCs. And I always laugh like, who the heck spent $500 on so-and-so and someone spent $1? Well, I was getting nervous because there's a lot of that going on this week. And it kind of makes sense based on when you drafted and so on and so forth. So when we did our online auctions, that was the end of February. So it's been almost a month now. For these drafts. And so you're gonna have a lot of injuries. There's a lot of new players in the player pool that have interest you, so on and so forth. So Ben's all, how'd they go? I just want to say one thing. You mentioned Ryan, like, I hope our advice was good. Well, good or bad, I don't know, but they're taking it because there was only like one or two bids that seemed a little high. Everything else was like in the ballpark. Like people were saving their money. They're making like quote unquote smart bids. We'll see if it is later on, but they weren't blowing their rolls on anything. And I just looked at it and Ben goes, you must feel like a proud papa right now watching this. And it was just funny because I was like nervous. I'm like, okay, this is going to get wild, especially for a lot of first timers on the NPC. So many questions in place and no, you guys rocked it. I think so. It's fun to watch.
I'm looking at your two leagues as we go. Yeah, there were only a handful of bids across the four leagues in triple digits, which for drafting in late February,
it's awesome. I think
that's pretty good.
Yes, and you guys didn't do what 1OC did. 1OC added Pablo Sandoval instead of Patrick Sandoval for $112. So that happens too.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's have some fun here. Let's talk about bets. And Adam's in the chat. These aren't real, like real bets. This is, well, they're real. But they're not like over-unders on win percentages and stuff.
I did realize that as Adam said that because I know Adam who's doing some things in the gaming space. Signed me up. I have too many to count for futures. These are kind of bar bets, beer bets between Bubba and I that just kind of came up on episodes throughout draft season. And so I kind of kept like a little running log for each of our shows. There's not a whole lot, but anytime we kind of had a little tiff. About a player or two, I'd write something down. We'll just revisit those. I don't know what we actually have on these. We'll just say first pitch beers since that's when we'll see each other next.
But yeah, first pitch beverages. We'll just say that. And it'll be at a game or an outing or something. It'll be the beverages that take place during the weekend at first pitch. We can go with that for sure.
That works. We've got six bets, right?
Six bets that can, yeah, for sure.
Five and a half.
Yeah, until Ryan figures out his half of it. But, yeah, we'll see where all this lands. But I'll let you have the first one because you're pretty adamant on this one. And I hope after the spring training results, you haven't changed your tune yet.
Yeah, this one came up. No, dude, why would spring training results change my tune? Are you kidding me? This one came up on either our first base review or our first base preview. Paul Goldschmidt, and we're talking 5x5 value, I guess.
Well, you will use Razzball Player Raider essentially.
Sure. Yeah, we'll do that. Paul Goldschmidt versus Christian Walker. I am on the side of Paul Goldschmidt, the correct side. And Bubba, you are on the side of Christian Walker. I want to bring up their main event ADPs just to kind of see what the market thinks. I'm still Goldschmidt, but you did talk me a little bit into Christian Walker. I get the appeal. That said, as I look through my player shares, I have zero Christian Walker. Mm-hmm. And I only have one Paul Goldschmidt, so there is that. But I kind of back that up with my lack of drafting Christian Walker.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I don't think I'll get check as well. I doubt I have much of either. I have three Christian Walker shares for 11% roster rate on my teams. Mm-hmm. And Goldschmidt, zero. Oh, I have one. I have one Goldie. There you go. One Goldie. Not sure when that happened. But I think one reason I don't have many is waiting on first base so much at the position, was just the bottom
that,
line.
So, yeah, to kind of bring this back into a strategy thing, I think that was it for me. And when we talked through really our like hitter roadmap, there were some first basemen I liked early in the draft. We both did. And then a lot late. And so I just wasn't taking very many. Like, I don't have any Tristan Casas either, like any first baseman in that range. Just wasn't a spot where we were taking first baseman. It's interesting. The main event ADP on Goldschmidt is 100 and Christian Walker is 107. So they're like right next to each other, man. So yep. We'll see. But that's a good bet. And in terms of like entertainment value, and B, we're stubbornly holding our ground.
So. Yep, stubbornly holding our ground, because I prefer a young player that continuously hits 30 home runs and a better offense. So that's kind of where I'm sitting.
Well, I prefer a former MVP who also steals and has
does he though?
Better
does
batting he really average, more counting stats, and a better lineup. So.
Yeah, we'll see. Last year was not good, Bob. So we'll see if we'll see if Father Time has caught up with Goldschmidt. If Goldie turns more into the Cole or bronze or whatever you want to call it. That's not platinum or titanium.
That's a pretty bad attempt at a joke there. So yeah. Let's move on.
All right. This one. Yeah. Let's move on to this one because you've had time to think of what you want to come up with here. And you did not. Like,
I got nothing, man.
I had Zach Geloff. Everyone knows my love for Zach Geloff. It kind of faded as player pools and things changed throughout the draft season, but I took Zach Geloff, and Ryan was supposed to come up with a foe in this battle, and I have not heard of one yet. And it cannot be Andrés Giménez. It cannot be Thairo Estrada.
This is the problem.
Yeah. It cannot be Gleyber Torres. I'm just rattling off names off the top of my head that go somewhere in that ballpark. So
the second baseman going around Zach Geloff. And yeah, this was from our second base episode where I kind of just like bagged you.
Yeah, you clowned him hard.
I went pretty hard. I don't know. Maybe a little too hard.
Yeah, it was rough. Like Geloff has feelings too.
The problem is, yeah, there's not a comp that like makes it fun. So like Zach Geloff has an ADP right now. Like we're still in draft season already. Mindset change of 131. And like the low hanging fruit would say, I'd take Thairo Estrada over Zach Geloff. Estrada's going 10 picks later. But you agree with that. So that, you know, doesn't work. And then the next hitter off the board is the next second baseman off the board is 176, Luis Arraez. So I don't have anything.
I think it's because you liked Arraez so much. I was trying to fight you on that. And you're like, well, they're too far apart.
Yeah, there wasn't. Yeah, you tried to bait me into that one. So I think we'll just say
the no bet.
Or Zach Geloff returns, is a top 130 player.
Well, what's his overall second base draft? Does he have that on you or no? Is it too hard to find?
No, good point. You want to say just end of season. He's the number 11 second baseman.
Okay, so end of season.
Top 10.
Top 10 second baseman. That's fine. All right. I'll roll with that. I like handing out drinks, so it's okay. I like Geloff. I think a big season could be coming. A couple opposite field home runs that make Ryan quiet before a few shows this spring. So it was fun
in the most cavernous park in one of the most cavernous parks out there. So yeah,
okay. Juan Soto versus Aaron Judge. I took Juan Soto all day, every day
on this one.
How's your Aaron Judge love feeling now, Ryan?
Dude, we're.
You're backtracking.
We're not wavering. We are not wavering.
That sounded a lot like something like a waiver.
We're putting up a front right here at Bubba in the Bloom North. This bet was made, I don't know when. It was before the Aaron Judge like constant maintenance.
Yes.
Or whatever. It wasn't constant maintenance, whatever he said about his toe. And then before his oblique, and then before his abs issue. So I'm less confident in this one than the previous two, but we'll roll with it. I think I did draft Juan Soto second overall in Tout Wars, which is an OBP league. So full disclosure, I still think what I said about Juan Soto in a regular 5x5 league holds true, in that at the price and whatever he was going, 10th or 11th overall, I was out on. Judge was falling a little bit more deeper in the first round than that, but I'll hold with it.
I believe at the time of our discussion, Judge was going one pick in front of Juan Soto.
They were right next to each other.
Yeah, and so it made for perfect conversation at the time, and then reality struck that Judge is often injured and will be often injured throughout the season, and you started to not waver, I think that was, you said? I couldn't quite tell, but okay, good. Judge versus Soto. Sounds good.
Hold the line. Hold the front. Judge is healthy right now. He is playing.
He said he's going to battle the toe injury all season long.
Which is, we'll see how many bags he steals. I don't think I took Judge at all. I have one team with Judge, and that was our draft that we did with Rob DiPietro back last August. So,
well, it'll be fun, because I don't know how the Razzball player rater kind of weights certain stats. I think we've kind of looked at it, likes batting average a lot more potentially, so that could be interesting. But pretty much when Soto scores, it's probably Judge driving him in. So I wonder how runs and RBIs kind of factor into the weighting system. That'll be interesting.
Above my pay grade.
Yeah, we know. All right. Next one, I'll let you have the floor here, because you have jumped on board on this one.
I know. I don't even know what I'm betting on at this point, but this is probably one of the highlights of the Bubba in the Bloom freaking pre-season. Draft season. Yep. Was my 180 turnaround on Tyler Glasnow.
Uh-huh. It's so glorious. Absolutely amazing.
Remember when I called him Tyler made of Glasnow for like an entire episode?
Then he's Ryan's one of his most favorite pitchers outside of Kevin Gossman. Well, not Gossman's not even your boy anymore, so never mind.
So, and then it all changed. I remember it all changed the labor draft when Glasnow fell to the fourth round and you're goaded welcome. Me into taking him. But no, I have come around on Glasnow. So the actual bet that we did was an over-under of Glasnow's innings pitched of 150. I took the under. Bubba, you took the over. A couple things that I've learned since then, or not learned since then, but just kind of come to the realization of, is, and this all kind of stemmed from my labor pick of Glasnow in the fourth round, is Tyler Glasnow did not throw 120 innings last year. That's a common misconception. If you factor in kind of his minor league rehab appearances, the postseason, he threw 138.
Oh, so is that close to 150?
Last season, so that's close to 150. Yeah. And according to, again, my numbers, I don't know, for Tyler Glasnow to return that third or fourth round spot, he only needs to throw 135.
Ooh.
So all he needs to do is do what he did last year, and you're fine. Okay. And Tyler Glasnow, did not have an arm injury. The oblique was in the beginning of the season. He finished the last 4 months strong. Okay. This is me admitting, not admitting defeat. I'll still take the under 150 because he's never done it before. But that was kind of the thought process behind my 180 turnaround on Tyler Glasnow from January till March.
Yeah, that is quite the 180 you have there. So if he goes under, I win, or how does this go?
No, the over-under still stands. If he goes under, I win. If he goes over,
okay. I'm just checking.
You're still betting on someone who's to do something who's over 30 and has never done it before.
Well, and he gets an extra start this year.
He already has. he didn't go very long. He didn't go very long. That's true, though. I didn't think about that back in January. But yes, Glasnow does get an extra start. He already has one under his belt. But I think I don't even think he went five. He threw 75 pitches. So,
well, I'm a big fan of this decision. So that is absolutely amazing to hear.
Joe Rico in the chat, going back to our last thing. Aaron Judge over under 5 bags this year. What's your?
I go under.
What's your read?
I go under. I know Rico's going under too.
I'll go under and hang my head.
Yes, because if he goes under that, then what else is going on?
Yankees,
with the
Yankees need to bubble wrap him.
Yes, bubble wrap him for sure.
Any more? Just kicking me while I'm down with Glasnow. Or are we ready to?
Oh, I didn't know we were doing that. Andrés Muñoz versus Pete Fairbanks. This was kind of fun because you liked Muñoz a lot. I don't dislike Muñoz, but I was thinking Fairbanks pretty solid as well. So The more draft season has gone on, I probably leaned closer to the Munoz side of this one. But what do you have on this one?
Not much. Just the fact that both of them survived relief pitcher Armageddon, which was, I think, was a major theme of draft season, with pretty much everyone going down, which was brutal. Feel very good about Andrés Muñoz over Fairbanks.
Very good about Muñoz over Fairbanks. I still like Fairbanks, though. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no, I like them both. Fairbanks 76 ADP in the main events, and Muñoz 64. So a round difference in, you know, the fourth round, which is sizable.
I would say I like the biggest reason, I think, I was kind of Fairbanks over Munoz at the time, and I still kind of believe it, but this was before some of the trades. I thought Munoz would kind of get shared in the closer's role, but like, Burrow is gone, Brash is hurt. Brash will be back soon, though. He's actually starting to rehab, probably about a month or so. Santos is hurt. So a lot of the guys that we're going to kind of take maybe potential saves away from Munoz aren't there anymore. So that part stinks.
Yep. I mean, I think the biggest thing with this bet is going to be health, right? Yeah, I mean, for sure. We all know about Andrés Munoz's injury history. Fairbanks has not thrown over 45 innings since 2019. So they're both, you know, I think it's going to be like kind of a last man standing type deal. But
I just like to give both of us credit that we picked two closers that are still alive.
That's exactly what I know, man. Like,
that's pretty good.
Why don't I have five Andrés Muñozes, and We'll get to that
in a minute. Yes,
yeah. We'll obviously not bitter still over yesterday's news.
Not at all. And then the last one here, this was fun. Brandon Drury versus Ryan McMahon. I'm just going to preface this one before Ryan has the floor here. We did our, it must have been corner. No, it was probably second base preview because Drury's first base, second base, McMahon second base, third base. Ryan basically pulled a gel off and just bombed all over McMahon. Like, why would you want McMahon? He does this, doesn't do that, all these things. It was great. And he says, the projections, this, that, and the other. Okay, sure. So I'm just sitting back because I've always been like, you know, McMahon's boring, but it's consistent. I'll take the 20 to 25 homers, hit me like 260 or 70 or whatever. We'll call it good, 250. And then Ryan, like two players later, go, Brandon Drury, man, he's consistent. He does this, 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 his projections, this. And yeah, I love Brandon Drury. And I'm like, Ryan, that's the same projection as Ryan McMahon that you just said no. This led to the debate. Oh, and then he tells me, yeah, but Drury's got that really cool first base, second base, CIMIMA. Ryan McMahon, second base, third base, Ryan. Oh, so the floor is yours, Mr. Bloomfield.
No, that was a pretty good tear down there. Honestly, that's a benefit to doing this show, though. That's obviously like me off a little bit off the cuff,
yeah,
with my biases. And when you kind of straighten that out and say, hey, look, I mean, they're both MICI eligible. They both have basically the same projection, and they're both the same type of like ceiling floor play. So like, I agree with what you said. I still take Drury over McMahon, but like, I think I came in a little bit too warm on the McMahon hate, and then just all of a sudden saying, yeah, Drury's good for all the same reasons I don't like.
Now, I will admit, I think I did on that show, I think Drury has the higher ceiling. He has to stay healthy, which he's never been able to do. I agree with that part of it, but McMahon is just the most consistent guy, it feels like, at that point in the draft, at least. So we got McMahon versus Drury, Razzball, yep. Player Raider.
And interesting, like all of these kind of scuffles we got into, ADP 232 and 244.
It's fair.
They're right next to each other. Drury's the 17th second baseman off the board. Ryan McMahon was the 19th second baseman off the board, sandwiching Jorge Polanco. So it's not like we were way off really on any of these guys, like where we're now like, what were we thinking?
Yes. No, that's very fair. Very, very fair. All right.
We'll see. We'll revisit at the end of season, since I've got this down, and
we'll see if we add any more bets throughout the season as well. That could get entertaining. We'll see what takes place on the old board there. But let's have some real fun. Let's talk player shares. Like, it's fun for me. I know a lot of shows do it. It's interesting to hear. Like, did we back up our talk throughout the season? Did we get our guys? Sometimes it's not easy to do when you're drafting with people that know who you like. But we'll let Ryan go first. We'll kind of talk about some of his players, and then I'll go second. I'll go first. I don't care.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll just talk about player shares. First off, while you're queuing that up, I don't know if you know off the top of your head or if you've written down, how many drafts did you do?
So I did. Let me see if I can pull it up. I don't know.
All right. Hard hitting questions here at the show.
All right. Here, look, dude, I've got the freaking fab results.
Yeah, you don't have the right board up right now. Like, what are you doing? I was kidding.
I swear I have not been.
It's what happens when Ryan starts shifting modes from preseason to regular season. It's like a glitch in the matrix for a second.
How are we looking there? How are we looking there?
That's looking good. That's looking
solid.
Good. Yep, that'll work.
All right. So according to this player share thing, I have 16 NFBC leagues. A couple caveats. We technically share our Bubba and the Bloom auction teams.
Oh yeah.
And I did check. The guys who you took in that league show up in both of our player shares. That makes sense. So I'm at 16 leagues minus two, because two of those are yours. So 14 NFBC leagues. More than half of those are either the Gladiator format, which is you don't make any move during the season, and draft and hold. So less than half of those 14 are fab leagues. So 14. And then I've got Labor, Tout, and my family league that's on ESPN. So I've got three leagues that are outside of the NFBC ecosystem. So that puts me at 17 for the year.
Not bad. Not
yep.
bad.
Yeah. So
we'll get to mine in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to yours in a minute. Immediately at the top of this, we won't go through every player because, again, I don't think many people care that much. But I was pretty like spread around. I don't have anyone over a third of my team. So the top share guys are just on five out of my 16 teams.
Now, was that on purpose or just how it played out?
Mostly how it played out. I would have thought I'd take more late guys similar across my leagues. But the other thing too, and I think we have a question about this later, is we drafted so much like through November, December, January. It changed who my guys were kind of throughout draft season. So there are guys like Nick Lodolo, I have four shares of. I think all four of those were back in Gladiator, Draft and Hold, and not in any of my Fab Leagues, for example.
It'd be cool. Like, I know you could change like type of games you were playing, but it'd be cool if you could do like by month or whatever, like you can do with ADP and really see the differences.
Yep. You can do it by format.
That's what I'm saying. By that type of game. But, so you could that'll help, but it'd be cool to differentiate.
All right, so I took five guys at on five of my teams, which would be my most rostered. We'll start with the good Christopher Sanchez. Like, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, it's your boy.
I've been talking him up all draft season, and to back that up with five shares is good.
People on other shows were saying Christopher Sanchez, Ryan's boy.
And it got to the point where, like, so I don't think Christopher Sanchez was much of, like, a Gladiator guy early in draft season. And it got to the point late in draft season, I think, like, everyone knew I wanted him. I remember Paul Sporer and Labor taking him, like, a round or two. I don't want to say early, but before his ADP at the time, knowing Sanchez would not come back to him. But, yes, Christopher Sanchez is my favorite pitcher this year at the price. And so I backed that up with those five teams. This is all you, man. Logan Ohapi.
Boom. I love to see it. Absolutely love to see it.
This is the Bubba effect.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Logan Ohapi, my most rostered catcher. And again, in a spot of the draft where I was targeting catchers, this was probably most of these five shares were late in draft season. The more you kind of got into my head about how good Ohapi can be, saying that in a positive manner for now.
Yeah.
And again, just where Ohapi, I mean, we talked about this on the roadmap episode, where Ohapi was going in drafts, like that was the time to get him. And then my other two five share guys were just late starting pitchers. So Chase Silseth and John Gray. And I think that's going to be, I have not even seen your shares yet. That's typically the most common, is those kind of end game specs, late pitchers that end up on most players' teams. you rarely see like first, second rounders as top share guys because so much depends on your draft position. That said, I'll dip down into the four share category. My man, Pablo Lopez, I was able to get on a quarter of my teams, which for
that's pretty good
for where Pablo Lopez was going in drafts. Like that's pretty hard to do. Granted, a lot of my drafts were in that like mid to late round or mid to late part of the 15 teams. So I was either getting Lopez in the second or third round there. So I definitely backed up my Pablo Lopez love there. Hey, look at that. There's Brandon Drury.
Yes. Yes. You at least followed your way there. And Ryan McMahon.
Where's McMahon? Just one right share. There. That's probably your team too. No, I probably took McMahon in a draft and hold.
I'm pretty sure I have him in one of the listener auctions, actually.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Paul Sewald is my top closer, rostered on five of my teams. So yesterday was a gut punch. And honestly, I mean, what did I miss? Or was this just bad luck? Like, and I remember saying this about Sewald in our reliever previews. I mean, he has 60-plus innings each of the last three seasons with an elite strikeout rate throughout. So it's like, I don't know, process-wise. I know Sewald is a little bit older. I know the second half wasn't that great. And obviously the World Series, he got kind of lit up. But like with relievers, man, a first half, second half split for relievers, that's such a tiny, that's like 30 innings you're talking about. I don't know if I would change my process to weigh first, second half splits on relievers that much. Maybe I'm just being stubborn, but I kind of think Sewald was just, you know, injuries happen. I still think he was one of the more consistent plays coming into the season, and it just didn't work out. So I unfortunately have some work to do there trying to recover from Paul Sewald. It really hurts. Like, I don't know your thought on this, like losing a closer, I think is almost worse than an early starting pitcher. 100%. Because you've got seven other starting pitchers. You don't base an entire strategy around one starting pitcher. You do base a lot of your strategy around when you take that first closer. So losing that first closer, man, it just stings.
And there's fewer replacements on closers where if you lose a starting pitcher, there's each rotation has five pitchers. So you can, you know, the quality is obviously going to be different, but you have options to keep filling that spot where you can like stream in that one spot now. Closers, you're praying to find another closer.
It's a really good point. Yeah, the fab part is, yeah, what part I will not be looking forward to. It's I took Sewald because I want to avoid trying to fab closers, and here we are. So
on the bright side, if I can try to make a friend feel better, it was better than having like Devin Williams so much earlier in the draft.
Yeah, that yeah,
and you were big on Johan Duran. That could have been the same thing.
Yeah, I took some Duran, I think. Let's see. No, just on one team. Just on one team. So I did basically, and no Gerrit Cole, I was able to pretty much avoid the like major injury bug until Sewald yesterday. That one hurt. So
let's have some fun. I got a question for you. So on, I guess, these 25% or higher, I would go that route. Is there like anybody you're really surprised that all of you landed that many share? Like you weren't initially on these people that you ended up landing on?
Yeah. Like Brent Rooker.
That's a wild late round extra outfielder, probably. Maybe in a DC.
Austin Hayes. Yeah, like just depth. I don't know why I have four Tim Andersons.
That's got to be a DC. No, you probably didn't do it until he signed. No, were taking some of those in DC.
I was taking some Gladiator as well. Very surprised at Tim Anderson. Outside of that, my other four. It's good. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I like the Alex Cobb share. That's nice.
Alex Cobb got four Alex Cobbs. Four Justin Steeles, Taylor Ward's mascot, Rangifo, got four of him. Four Jack Flaherty. Like, this is weird, guys. We say we're an open book on this podcast. I mean, the guys we like are the guys we are drafting. Are there any of these guys? So we'll start with the five. I'll throw this back to you. Any of these guys you have, or you know, you have like no shares or one share of, very little?
Top of my head, I would say John Gray.
You don't have much John Gray.
I think I was going more in like the Brandon Fott, Brian Bayo's of the world in that range instead of John Gray.
Yep. Yep. Makes sense. What about the fours? I know there's probably 15 of them. I know your vision is quickly.
A lot better.
Oh, it's doing better. Okay.
Weirdly enough, I don't have a lot of Willie Castro.
Okay. I don't either, actually. I say I don't. Willie Castro was one who I took a lot early, and I was off of late.
I think because early on it felt like he was going to be locked into something, and then all of a sudden he still feels like he's going to play a ton, but it doesn't feel as confident as before, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I wonder like when or if even him, Willie Castro and Michael Garcia were going like somewhat close to each other at third base. I don't know if that's a thing, but they're similar type players at the same position. Willie Castro is one I'm like, that's a good point. When your last question, like, why do I have four of him? I think it'll work out in like a draft and hold, but in a fab league, it's hard to hard to go with that platoon thing. I could answer for you, Nick Lodolo. I think that was one of our battles.
he was growing on me toward. I only have one share. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I was getting more interested as the season went on, draft season went on, when like some quote unquote better news was coming out, but that also rose his ADP in a world that wasn't going to take him.
I was actually the opposite. I took a lot of Lodolo early in draft season because I didn't think the leg thing would even be a problem.
Yeah.
Like that was a miscalculation on my end. And you're right. By the end, I didn't get any Lodolo because reports looking better and the price was going up. So that was another one I front loaded was Lodolo. Here's your boy, Francisco Lindor.
Red Camp just says, just saw Chase Sosa's line tonight versus the Dodgers starting lineup, 10 Ks in 5 innings. God, that's glorious.
I texted you last night. We need these stats to start counting, man. Yep. Suzuki had 2 homers yesterday.
He's got 6 homers on the spring, hit nearly 500. Yeah, you got Lindor there.
That's having nice. 4 Lindor as a second rounder, that's also, I don't want to say impressive, but that's
it shows notable. Where you were drafting.
Yeah. 4 Merrill Kellys. I was
that one. Merrill I think Kelly probably surprised opponent. Me a bit. Not that I'm opposed to Merrill Kelly. I don't think we talked about him that much.
Yeah, he's pretty much like my SP3. Yeah, kind of like after you take those first two, you get your closer. You're starting to go bats. You're starting to get this is where catchers are going. And I just wanted like a
boring
stabilizer.
Steady. Yeah.
So
that's what Merrill is. I like Merrill. I think this year he's not getting as much bad, you know, pub as he was in previous draft seasons where everyone's like Merrill Kelly, he sucks, blah blah blah. I think he's at least earned the boring and his beautiful role that he portrays. So he's got that going for him.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I think that's it. We're not gonna talk about the three guys because that's that. So yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see yours. I wish like hell it was actually there's a little teams link. You can see which teams I've got Seawald on. 2 Gladiators, so those are
gone.
That's dead.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Because you can't fab closers, that actually not as bad as you might think.
I've got him on a Bubba in the Balloon auction. Oh, you want to see something ugly?
Yeah.
Watch this. Here's my Bubba in the Balloon auction too.
Oh no.
Look at my bench.
Oof.
Heading into opening day. Matt McClain. I had the double Paul Sewald, Brian Wu news on Tuesday or Monday.
Wow.
I stashed Alex Cobb and Walker Buehler. And so this is why we've said it a bunch on the pod before. And again, I don't mind like, you know, we're both, if my team isn't good, I'll say my team isn't good. Very open about that. But this is why we say don't stash more than one guy because other stuff happens. Matt McClain gets hurt. I get 2 pitcher injuries on the same day, and all of a sudden I've got 5 injured players on my bench in that team.
Yeah, that adds up quickly.
It does. That's example A of that. So I don't know. Have I belittled myself enough?
You didn't need to belittle yourself. It's just Seawald. Everything else is pretty par for the course. Scotty S from Arizona says rough Tuesday, Seawald and Wu. Yeah, that was tough. That was tough.
A tough one. That was a tough one. Rough Monday.
It was, a, It was a bunch of late night too. They all came like at the same time, like right around dinner time yesterday. Because
I know,
yeah, that was not cool. Not cool at all.
I would like to think we're past the injury thing, at least for spring training, unless someone doesn't recover well on Wednesday. There are no games on Wednesday at all. So
yeah, that's why I'm worried about tomorrow, because they'll finalize rosters. And it's like, huh, if I can put a guy on the IL and open up a 40-man roster or something, I'm just like.
That's a good point. There might be actually a small flood of news.
Well, what it'll be is it'll be a bunch of guys where it's like, huh, is he only going to be out for like two or three games, or are we better off putting him on the IL and like getting him healthy? That's the ones I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Where you thought you were like, oh, he might miss Thursday, but he'll be back Friday or something. Yeah, those are the ones that scare me. Like Brian Reynolds has a bad back right now. I was expected to play Thursday. I just saw that news this morning. I'm like, what? Where did that come from? So, yeah.
Yep, it's going to be pretty out of the blue.
Fun. Yeah.
Not in the chat, but Corbin on Twitter just responded. I posted this player share thing on Twitter, and he said tons of angels. And that has been a common theme for both of us, I think. Well, speaking for me, at least with this player share, is Rengifo, Silseth, Canning, Drury, Taylor Ward, Ohapi. It's like, yeah.
No, geez. The Angels, Pirates. I know those were very popular ones for sure, at least in the late round games. Like, I have a lot of Cubs, Pirates are interesting. A lot of bad teams have some interesting fantasy players. I'll say that much.
Yep. So, anyway.
All right. Guess it's my turn.
All right. Your turn. Your turn for the roast.
Let's have some fun. Let me find the page here.
Ah, oh, come on. You don't even have the page.
I got it. I don't have the page up. I got to share the page is what I was referring to. All right. All right. And we should be sharing now. Yep. There we are. Can you guys see that? You good? Yeah. Good. Good. All right. So I have.
Yeah. Let's do some. I don't even know if this is algebra, man. This is like, this might be going into.
Just remember, you got to carry the one
variable calculus to get remember, to the when, number of
when,
leagues.
When it's in parentheses, you do the stuff in parentheses first and then do the rest of the formula. Get your Pythagorean theorem out. I have 25 NFBC leagues, not counting the two that I have of Ryan's on there. So technically there's 27 shares probably on that board, but I did 25 leagues. I have 3 OCs, 1 online auction championship, 2 Bubba on the Bloom auctions, 1 main event qualifier, 1 on the wire, TGFBI, BARF, 7 DCs, 3 NFBC 50s, 5 gladiators. So I have 10, 10 fab leagues.
Yeah.
Plus tout. Which is about 10 fab leagues in its own. So
we'll leave that one there.
Yeah, we'll leave that one alone because Ryan got some fun text from me earlier tonight about that situation. Scott Burks wants to know, Ryan, are you joining me as an Angels fan? On Thursday, get him a hat. Get him a hat to wear on Thursday. All right. My turn. I have 4 players at 10 teams or more. My number one most rostered player is Anthony Rizzo. And that's not even at corner infield. That's usually a primary first baseman.
Wow.
Did I always want it to be this way? No. But as I kept going through drafts, I'm like, I can live with Rizzo, Abreu, Josh Bell, so on and so forth at the position. So Rizzo's healthy right now. He's looking good this spring. The way I look at it, he doesn't have to return to his, you know, heyday form. But even if it's his projections almost at his ADP, he's golden. So I think he's better in his projections, obviously. So Rizzo, I have in 15 of my 25 leagues. He's my only player over 50%, which is
and pretty so, rich. So all right. So and I get why. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So the first baseman going around Rizzo, Mountcastle, Vaughn.
Yeah.
Abreu, how many shares of those guys? Like, were you always just taking Rizzo because you liked him more than those other guys?
Or? I liked him. I was like, Andrew Vaughn, I have 1 share. You said
Mountcastle.
Abreu, I have 2 shares. Those are both late. And Mountcastle, I have 1 share.
Okay. So you're just,
It was Rizzo for life, basically.
Rizzo for life. I like it. That makes a ton of sense. I support you on that venture.
Based on the pockets of ADP, so if Rizzo fell in that scenario. My second most rostered player is someone I pounded the drum for all offseason long in DCs and OCs, everywhere you could get him. That's Alex Cobb. Everyone was not draft. Well, okay, a lot of people were not drafting him because of the hip surgery. He's supposed to miss a few months, all these things. He might like miss one start now. Like he might not be out long at all. So like Ryan and I were looking at, you know, upcoming schedules before the show. Cobb might factor into the end of those schedules potentially, or at least the following week. He might not be gone too long, and that changes a lot of things. So, Alex Cobb will be my most rostered pitcher that I'm looking forward to hopefully at least 25 starts from.
Cobb threw 40 pitches 2 days ago in a minors game. So you think one or two more, he's ready to roll.
That's what I'm saying. He might go on a 10, like, was it 15 days for pitchers? Maybe like a 15-day IL stint, and he'll rock and roll. So,
yep.
And as Errico said, I've been preaching this as well. The defense behind him has improved. You got Chapman at third. Matt Chapman
signing is massive for give and Logan Webb.
Webb, as well. Hicks, like all these guys. Yeah. Nick Ahmed might actually play shortstop over Luciano.
Dude, I know you mentioned that a few weeks ago, but like, good Lord.
Yep.
That's tough.
Yep.
But defensively, it's good. So.
Yep, very good. And then Alec Marsh, I tweeted about it the other day. I was stashing him in a lot of DCs and deeper leagues. He made the starting five out of camp. Pretty good stuff throughout the minors, ups and downs. But like, if you look at his overall stat line, it wasn't great last year. But what the improvements he made towards the end, they use an opener for him a lot in Kansas City. And the good old Kevin Hastings opened my eyes to him last year, kind of carried that over as a more of a punt play in DCs that carried over to some deeper 15-team leagues.
I don't think we ever talked about Alec
Marsh. He wouldn't have been in the top 300s, so he never would have.
That was out of – I don't even think I know who he is, but I don't think I drafted him anywhere.
No, you couldn't have because I took 10 of them.
My How many most leagues did we share? How many leagues are we in the same league? But mostly just DCs.
Just using DCs, yeah. Nothing fab-wise except for tote. My most rostered catcher, because everyone wanted to know, is Bo Naylor in 10 leagues. It's disappointing just for the fact that Ohapi should have been the guy. He was in 7 leagues. So I tried, but drafting with a lot of people I know made that very difficult to get Logan Ohapi for me. So Bo Naylor, 10 leagues, pretty pumped on that one.
I'm a little concerned about Mr. Naylor.
What concerns you, my friend?
Just had back spasms this spring. Like, hasn't played much.
Yeah, that's what happens. We have to carry the Naylor name because Josh was out most of the second half of last season. So that'll do it.
We'll go with that. He's a young buck too. He's 24.
He'll be okay. He'll bounce back. That's called just enjoying the Arizona area. Too many trips to Top Golf, that kind of thing.
The podcast room at FPAS.
Yes. Francisco Lindor, you had 4 shares for 25%. I have 9 shares for 33%.
Whoa, yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah, we're on the same page on that one pretty much. I got my Tanner Bibee, but here he is, this guy. Kevin Gausman, everybody. My guy now in 8 leagues for close to 30%.
Yep. We officially transferred ownership from me to you earlier today. That's impressive, man. How many of those 8 are like over the last 2-3 weeks? Because you were buying the I don't want to even say injury dip. You're buying the slower ramp up dip.
Yeah, I was just taking let's see teams. For Gausman.
I have 2 Gausman.
On
two
Gausman. I'm glad you're all OC1, OC2, and then my main event Q. So 3 were recent and most of them were early on. 3 recent.
So both 2 OCs.
Yeah, I didn't get him today. I almost got him today, actually. So, yeah, 2 OCs and then my main event queue. So 3 of my last 4 drafts, I got Kevin Gausman.
Yep, that's every single report looks very positive about his entire rehab process.
He might throw on Sunday or Monday, like actual game for the Jays.
I think he's in line for a 2-step on Monday.
Yep. So. Yep, that's going to be fun. Astros and Yankees, but still, I'll take Gausman anytime. Brandon fought in 8 of my leagues, just like Gausman. So I stuck to my guns on that one. If we're talking about, walking the walk. Him, Canning in 8 leagues as well. Rosarena, well, that's 7. But those 2 pitchers I've talked about a ton. We've talked about a ton. I got both of them.
It would have been 9 for Fott if you could spell his name right. But
don't get me started on that stuff. That was frustrating.
That was actually a tout league.
That was tout. So, that was, yeah, it's outside just more, of NFC. Just add that to the ledger on things that frustrate me. So we're good.
Yeah, no, you backed it up with Fott for sure. Mats. Yep. Yep.
Mats was early because I've kind of fallen off of that ladder. But in the chat, I wanted to mention Greg Smith says, Laureano Hive is buzzing, four-game revenge series at Oakland to open the season. Let's go. And yes, that was a lot of what I had here. Early on, I was taking Laureano in DCs and stuff because he was just going super late. He's going to hit in the middle of Cleveland's order. He's going to play until he's hurt. So in like a DC format, that's beautiful. That's at bats. That's what you want. But that opening series, four in Oakland, two lefties, two righties, like sign me up for that.
He's only 29.
Yeah.
He feels, I mean, Laureano feels like he's 34 years old, given how long he's been around and he's just always hurt. But a great draft and hold play. And like you just said, if people listening out there are looking for guys for this first four game set, that Oakland four gamer is awesome.
Yep. Ramon Laureano's huge there. Wilmer Flores, I've talked about him plenty. I'd like him in more, but I didn't have a chance to. Logan Hoppe, second most rostered catcher on the squad. Medina was an early season, but there's the mascot. Got him in 25, so basically close, okay. Basically close on the mascots. And trust me, any league that knew me, I had zero chance of getting Luis Rodriguez.
I know that was especially the our auction leagues.
We set new maximums on him,
and there was no way I was getting Christopher Sanchez in the auction leagues. I tried like hell, but yeah, between us, we have 11 teams with the mascot.
That's outstanding.
Big things ahead. I was a little worried. He had that, what was it, a hamstring a
couple days ago? Back like 2 days later. He was good. Yep,
we're good. Mascot doesn't get hurt.
Got Piamps and a lot of early shares in DCs and early Fab Leagues. There's Pyro. I'll let you have if you have anything to ask me, because now we're getting below 25%.
But. Yeah, there's your boy Geloff. Yeah, 22%. I've got to be early. Manny Machado is one I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I only ended up with Machado in two. I did get him in tout, so three. And you backed up Machado. You didn't get – it looks like mostly early.
All early, pretty much, yeah.
Which is interesting because at least what I saw is Machado, even though, like, there were injury concerns early on, even though there have been positive report after positive report so far this spring on Machado, the ADP hasn't really gone up.
Yeah, hasn't moved at all.
I thought both of us would have a lot more Machado than we actually did. That might be one where we talked up a lot but didn't grab him as much. I mean, granted, he's still in a quarter of our league, so maybe I'm overblowing
because a lot of it was early, though, so we kept talking him up and probably didn't go there. I'm guessing it's more so the location of where he was going, because he was kind of a third rounder, so it's either your first pitcher or one more like speed bat, potentially.
Yeah.
I think is what it felt like. Yep. Just off of my head stuff. And I think that's why we probably ended up passing on Machado, my guess.
He was kind of one of those few hitters in that fourth, fifth round that was going where basically everyone else was taking pitchers. So
where I was taking Kevin Gausman. So
your third most rostered catcher, it looks like, is Yiner Diaz, unless I'm missing one.
Yep, it's Yiner. He's in six leagues. So I have Bowen 10, Ohapi in 7, Yiner in 6. God, that sounds freaking beautiful.
Jeffers in 6. You're kind of your rescue.
That's just a thing of
can't finish it. Rescue float. What do they toss you when you're going down?
Is it a buoy or something? No, I know what you're talking about. Donut thingy. There's my catcher page for anybody that wants to.
Oh, you can filter it off of position.
Yeah, we're just going straight to catcher here for you guys.
Look at this. This is like Bubba's Mona Lisa.
William Contreras, only four leagues for William. That's a bummer.
That's disappointing. But he was going early enough to where it's tough to tough to get too much of William. I did do you proud in my last draft. I took William Contreras in the fifth round. So
that's a
Jake Rogers. That's kind of random. I don't think you talked him up much.
That's a DC's and I think one Fab League, right? Or one auction league. It was one auction. Yeah. Gladiators, DC, and an auction. Yeah.
The other thing I will say, I love how this has just devolved into showing your catchers.
We have to. So this works.
You did talk a lot about not waiting on your second catcher. And I don't see very many at all. Like, so I see like Yan Gomes, Corey Lee, but those could very well be
Lee was DC's for sure.
DC's. Yep. Miguel Amaya is a draft and hold play. Connor Wong might be one or two leagues where you wanted that rescue donut. Same with like Rene Pinto. Nope, 50s. Those are draft and holds. You basically backed up that. Where'd you get Pinto?
Pinto beans. DC and Abby York auction.
So there was only like one or two leagues out of your whatever leagues where you didn't wait on that second catcher, which is admirable. It's more than I did. I'm sure. Yeah.
That was a plan of attack. Let's put it that way. In that scenario, I'm trying to think.
You have six Fernando Tatises. That was.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, he was one of your top first rounders. So
I think he's an MVP candidate this year. Taylor Ward came on late, got six shares of him late. There's still Seth.
Yeah, feel Taylor very Ward good about late. A lot of Taylor Ward.
Yeah, so do I. I wish I would have been on that sooner. Let's put it that way. I would have had a lot more Taylor Ward if that was the case.
All right, I'll throw it back to you. Anyone, you're surprised that you have this many?
That I have this many of?
Yeah. Well, I'll let you answer.
Well, I'm not happy with that. Well, I'm not happy with Luis Medina. That was a very early one that I'm wrong with on that.
But that's not going to hurt you.
No.
Kyle Isbell is another. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't mind him. He's going to start in center field, so that's fine. I'm fine with that. It's probably Luis Medina, Steven Matz, those two guys. Steven Matz might be okay.
Yeah, what's wrong with Matz, dude? He's healthy.
Yeah, well, he's healthy for now. So those would be probably the main two that
you liked really him when he was hurt.
Riley,
you like him when he's healthy.
Riley Green's another one, though. I'm just not that shoulder injury still bugs me.
But I don't think I took him, Riley Green. And granted, you only took him on five.
Yeah, that was early drafts as well. But it's pretty much Luis. If out of this early area, it'd probably be Luis Medina.
Reliever wise, you did what I didn't do and spread things around with your closers. I don't see very many closers at all. Actually, James MacArthur is your
most rostered,
and that's a late second or first third closer. So that's
he's a nine.
You really don't. Albert Alzolay, maybe.
Griffin Jackson, six of my leagues. That's right. You drafted
six quarterly. Kyle Finnegan, six.
Yeah, like the main guys, they're way down here. They're all spread out.
Yeah, you spread it around pretty well, which is for me a learning for next year. If I'm going to be in this many leagues again, which let's not kid ourselves, we will be.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to kind of get your guys at starting pitcher and
interesting.
And with the bats, but really try and spread around those closer shares as much as you can. Granted, this is me saying this one day after Paul Sewald goes down, but I do think that's something, especially at reliever.
Something to remember.
Yep.
Just for the future. I think that's it. Joe Arrico, no Kirk. I'm hurt. Yeah, sorry, no Kirk for me.
Zero. Does not exist.
That's tough
for Joe.
Someone decide my 1.02 in my OC tomorrow, Witt or Strider. Strider went second in mine today. I took Acuna 1, Strider went 2.
I had the third pick. So this is an OC, but I had a third pick yesterday in a 15-team satellite league, which was my last draft. And I wanted Strider. He fell to me. I took him at third. I just think, and it really always, your first round depends on what you think you have and your second through five. So just look at those. I'm not as versed in the 12 teamers, but for me in the 15 teamers, I backed up Strider with Michael Harris and Vlad Guerrero. So it worked out for me. Well, if I took Witt, I did not get one of the things that I was really talking about all year was those six or seven aces. If I took Witt third overall, I would have been shut out from those six or seven aces. So it's just not something I want to do.
Yeah. Today in my draft today, Witt went fifth. That's the lowest I've seen him go in any of my drafts. That was pretty wild. And pitching, but overall, like I mentioned it after my second OC, how pitching was getting pushed up so much in the first two. It went super weird in this one. So these OCs just Jano, I just say I think Strider's probably the way to go. Let's put it that way. That's where I would lean.
Good on you doing a draft before opening day on opening day eve.
I wanted to. I wanted to. Just did not fit into my schedule.
Michael in the chat. Michael's been a avid listener throughout draft season, so we just want to give you a shout, man. Say thanks. Michael just did a main event qualifier and missed the Gossman dip, which is unfortunate.
Things you hate to see, hate to hear. Hate to hear it. Any other final thoughts on shares, or we can do some more listener questions? Or...
Yeah, go to listeners.
Okay, I'm going to turn this off.
Boom. I did. Go to listener questions.
All right. We have one more that I did not take a picture of, so I'll go to that first before I forget it. Evil Spock said, how many fantasy baseball teams do you all manage each year? Last year I had 7, and I felt like it was way too many. Well, I have 25 this year, 10 with Fab. So, yeah, although technically 26, 11 with Fab. So, yeah, that's your answer. It's too many.
I think I've got 6 Fab, which ideally I'd like 4 or 5, but that's life. The Fab is staggered a bit, where 2 of my leagues, Labor and WRF, the Pacific Northwest Writers League. It's not what that acronym is because there's no W, but those both go at like 9 p.m. So like the, and then Tout goes at 5. So it's a little bit staggered throughout the day on Sunday, but yeah, it looks like I've got 6, which that's doable.
6 is doable.
With just minor family obligations on Sundays.
It's much better than 11. So
I'll take much better than 11. I'll keep telling myself. Plus Fab articles that we write. So
yes,
there's that.
That helps actually in the long run.
It does. It actually it does.
It helps a ton. All right, you guys came through with some more listener questions, so we'll get to them here. Steve Stoughton, another guy that's been with us, was in auction leagues all off season.
Yep.
He asked, how much Fab do you think Victor Scott goes for next Sunday? Well, if you're curious real quick, I actually talked about this earlier. Let me get you the prices that Victor Scott went for in online championships this past weekend. Victor Scott.
But that's gonna change so much.
Yeah, but I'll just tell you what he went for now.
Yeah,
Victor Scott went for as high as 171, as low as $9. How much do you think he goes for now?
So, like, the easy cop out answer is it depends what he does this weekend. Like, watch Victor Scott steal 3 or 4 bags.
Yeah,
he's going for 300 plus.
Easy.
I'm not doing it myself, but he's going for 300 plus if that happens. I think the defense is good enough. I think the hit tool is good enough for Victor Scott to stick. However, he is in the lineup because of injury. So what happens when these guys come back? I do worry a little bit about the long term. But yes, to answer the question, it will definitely be triple digits. And I think it exponentially rises with every stolen base that Victor Scott may get this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting because Victor Scott, in his first go-round, gets the luxury of facing Tyler Glasnow, Bobby Miller, Yamamoto,
that's right.
And yeah. Gavin Stone. So T's and P's to that.
Yeah, might have to rack up those steals on Sunday against Gavin Stone.
Yep. Or against Yamamoto on Saturday.
Or Yamamoto, if it's anything like his first start. Yeah.
Whew. Heath Caps says, my most rostered player is Carlos Correa, and I'm wondering what this says about me. It means you missed on shortstop.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. That's the correct answer. Because in our roadmap, we were pretty adamant about getting a shortstop in the top, 150, 160?
Yep.
Estrada was maybe Willie Adames.
Yeah.
And, I am Carlos Correa, man. God.
And I hope you have steals elsewhere because you got nada.
That's the double whammy with Correa, is getting 0 from shortstop is just, it's tough. It's tough from a roster build standpoint.
Yep, most definitely. Brand C at Big Bad B Wolf says, thoughts on Dominic Canzone and Brenton Doyle? My Sean Bouchard DC shares went down the drain.
I mean,
Bouchard will be back with the DC. Yeah, you'll get him eventually.
In a draft and hold, I wouldn't be too down about Sean Bouchard. Doyle?
I don't mind Doyle. I'll say that much. He showed some improvements this spring. The hit tool is much better in the minors than it was in his first year in the bigs. He's got speed for days. Like, he could be, if everything clicks, he can be like a 15-30 guy. If he can hit like 260, that's saying a lot of ifs, but there's something there with Doyle.
And Canzone, I think he'll play regularly against right-handed pitching. I think it's a platoon, but I think you've got some playing time there if you time it right with Canzone. You know, what will he do with that playing time? I'm not too optimistic, but in deeper leagues, he's streamable, which is a backhanded compliment. So.
Yep. That's one way to look at it for sure.
It's like you when I say something and you're like, yeah, I don't totally disagree with that.
It's not bad. All right. Kevin Alvis says, can you touch on how today's news of Montgomery to Arizona affects ex-Duck Ryan Nelson in the short and long term? Threw a little Oregon Duck love in there for you.
Yeah, another duck in the crowd. I like it.
Nelson had a good spring. He's going to be the fifth man in the D-backs rotation to start out. But like you said, I think it's more affects Tommy Henry personally.
Yeah, I will admit I did not realize Tommy Henry was making the rotation for the Diamondbacks. That's
interesting. Let alone pitching in game three to start
the season. Let alone pitching in game three, to start the season. So I think Ryan Nelson's safe.
He should be, yeah.
The problem with Ryan Nelson, I think Ryan Nelson falls into that, like, streamer danger category where yes, Ryan Nelson has, so for example, a two-start week next week, but it's he starts out versus the Yankees, which is manageable, but then he goes to Atlanta.
Whew.
Like I don't think you can throw Ryan Nelson at Atlanta. Like, that's exactly the type of strategy thing we talk about all offseason not to do, is to fall into this trap of streaming starters that aren't good. Or are just, I don't want to be too harsh, but like, especially at Atlanta, like you do not want to put yourself in that position.
Yeah. He's a streamer this year, and I don't even think he's a bench streamer. I think he's a waiver wire streamer. And we mentioned Jomo should take Tommy Henry's spot, and then E-Rod will come back and take Ryan Nelson's spot. I think that's how it pencils out when all things are said and done. All right, Oregon Ducks 2, Mr. Burks says, are there any players you guys drafted a lot in early drafts that you faded in later drafts? He's got two parts, so that'll be the first one. I wouldn't say purposely faded, but you nailed the Machado thing.
Yeah, Machado. I would say Lodolo for me. I kind of mentioned that earlier, but that was one who's pretty front-loaded, and I kind of fell back off of later on.
Medina for me, like we talked about, that was a complete just don't even try to draft as the draft season went on, but nothing too crazy. I spread a lot of my love out. And then he says, in any guys you faded early, you got a lot of shares of late.
That's the tougher question. I don't think anyone I fade early either of us are going to have a lot of. I don't think.
Yeah,
one exception to that is I did take injury risks who are currently healthy, which has always kind of been a thing of mine. So like in my last draft last night in the fourth or fifth round, I took Jazz Chisholm. He made it through spring training healthy. Like, let's go. That would be one thing where if somebody who has injury history looks out, and probably Glasnow is a perfect example of that, I guess, who I faded early and came around on. But that would be it. If someone can make it through spring training, they start opening day healthy. Like, that's kind of all you can ask for at this point.
I like the Jazz call. Took him and Ellie and an OC together. One guy that stands out to me, looking at my shares right now, that I have in, where did he go? I have him in five of my leagues, a little less than 20%. This could be a little hat tip to you, Jack Flaherty.
Hey!
But I know I started getting him late. So
that's an all-time 180 as well. We want to talk about my glass now. You were Jack shocked Flaherty. That I took Flaherty in whatever episode as a late target.
Yep, I can agree to that one. And then Taylor Johnson asks, how do you manage a pitching staff throughout the season? Do you ever sweat the minimum innings pitched? Is it as simple as you always start your studs unless you're starting pitchers with bad matchups and then fill in with relief pitchers in the rest of the spots?
For me, it starts with draft season and drafting 9 starting pitchers and streaming from your bench. I've talked about that too much. You're always starting your studs. you are avoiding the two start trap, the two start Ryan Nelson. You don't want to do that. If worse comes to worse, just start a middle reliever that week.
Yep.
Protect your ratios.
Yeah, even this opening weekend, because not all starters are pitching this weekend, so a lot of relievers could be used to fill up your spots, get a couple looks. But, yeah, in the gist, yes, you pretty much start your studs. That's one way to do it. And then fill in the rest, as Ryan said, as things go. I don't worry about the innings limits. When they hit, you worry about them then. If the guy's pitching well, you go all the way to the wall with them, basically. Then you call it a day. But I wouldn't worry too much about innings limits until all is said and done. That's one thing we actually started talking about more towards the end that I wish I would have paid more attention to earlier. It might have affected some of my shares, per se. But, like, concerned with Glasnow's innings, concerned with Chris Sale's, or so on and so forth. Even James Paxton is an example. Take the good innings, even though you know they're going to go to the IL. Take the good innings, drop them, do whatever you have to do at that point. Don't worry about the when it's going to happen. Just do it until it does happen. That's something I need to be better at in the future.
And you don't know which quote-unquote safe pitchers are going to go down. Garrett Cole, Devin Williams, Paul Sewald. Yep. Looking at you.
Yep, yep. So that's something that I think I need to be more cognizant of as the next. We always talk about this, and that's one good thing about the show, obviously, is, you know, we talk about our biases and we talk about other things like that. That'll be one of my bigger takeaways for at least the pitching side of things this year, is being more cognizant of just take the quality and deal with the repercussions later type thing.
We are very bad at projecting pitcher injuries. So
yeah, so
lean into that and with quality over quantity.
Yep, 100%. But my friend, that'll do it. Any final thoughts on our final episode?
Yeah, dude.
The off season. We two episodes a week, nonstop, the whole way through. We started two episodes after FPAS, but we came at you every week.
Still. I don't think we missed a single episode.
No. So we got it all in and out done. Final thoughts.
We thought of enough shit to talk about. No, let's do it, man. Yeah, next show there will be games. I cannot wait. I don't have too much to add. I'm glad. Like, are you glad draft season's over? Like, are you kind of tired of draft season?
It's a bittersweet. I was talking about it before. Bittersweet because, yeah, I've done obviously plenty of drafting. Like, I'm ready to see kind of the fruits of your labor, as people would say. Like, I want to see what happened. Let's put up or shut up time. At the same time, we'll admit this is the best time of the year. Like, we'll be yearning to stop doing fab and drafting in no time.
I agree.
And that's why we always start doing that stupid draft in August, because it's just like the coolest thing ever. And then we say we're only going to do like seven rounds. And then it's, hey, you guys want to do more? Like, it happens every single year because drafting is the best. And so I'm glad it's over, because I just need to stop. Is what it comes down to. I need
to stop. We need an intervention.
Yeah, this is the reality of the situation. I need to stop and just play out my leagues. But
yeah,
it's gonna suck to not have it too.
It is a good point that I do think, especially just being, you know, a writer, podcaster in the industry, the best time of year is February and March. There's just so much buzz. And then and we'll see this. We see this every year. So much buzz. We're at the peak right now. April will come. There's activity, and then you start to see May, June, but that's, I mean, and then football comes. Yep. But for the folks who, of course, listen to our podcast twice a week, you guys are the,
the diehards.
Like, that's how you can win your league, is in May, June, July, August. Just keep at it. So it is a grind. I know everyone says that, but we do get tired of it. I think it's a little human nature to get tired of it at some point, but just got to keep going. And I don't know. I'm excited for the change. I've got some draft fatigue. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to start.
Yeah. And the season's long. Like you said, it can wear people down, but that's why we try to bring a little fun to it for you. Goof off a little, make fun of each other, have fun along the way. Hopefully give you some knowledge. And I think the new format is going to keep it kind of lively, kind of see what's going on with the Bloom boards, kind of some trends and stats and whatnot, and then get you ready for Fab before you really have to go hard at it for the weekend. So hopefully it is a new way for you guys to approach your season and kind of enjoy it if you're not already, of course, but have some fun that way as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on the Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 120. See y'all next time. Thank you.